Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 383. My name is Chris Fergio.
Happy birthday!
I was waiting
Thank
for
you.
That.
I'm here with Travis Baum.
Hey.
And Jeff Troney.
What up, guys?
And today we are revisiting our predictions from 2015. We just looked at them, and it's not pretty, folks. I'm just going to tell you. Spoiler
pretty
alert,
bad.
It's not pretty.
Pretty bad.
But before that, we're going to do some distractions and news, and then afterwards we'll do new releases, some indie questions, and a new question of the week. I do have one email that has to do with predictions as well, so we'll get to that later. But before we do that, let's see what's going on. Travis, what's up?
Let's talk about the Mormons for a second.
Oh, God.
So, okay. Yeah, so yesterday I'm...
That's a second. Let's move on.
Talk about Destiny. Talk about Destiny.
So it's 8 o'clock last night. Maybe going on 8:30. It's late. It's dark outside. And I get a knock on my door. At that late, I open it. Because first of all, a knock on your door at 8 o'clock is never good, right? There's never been good
like,
news
who is
with
that?
A knock on your door at 8 o'clock. And I open a door, and it's two Mormons asking me if Jesus Christ is in my life. But these son of a bitches are getting crafty now, all right? So in the past, Chris, give me your stereotypical Mormon experience. You would have two people.
I have
give me,
actually
to me,
never it, had one.
But in your mind, never explain to me two Mormon people, like what they would look like.
I don't know.
Just age, sex.
I would figure late 30s, early 40s, both male
just,
probably.
Just a couple of bros, right? In a weird outfit asking you about Jesus stuff, right?
And kind of dressed up. And button
exactly.
downs or whatever.
A
yeah.
white t-shirt, black pants, riding a bike with a cute little backpack on. Okay, that's what you would expect.
Okay.
That's what I've always seen. That's what you would expect. That's what I've always seen my entire life. They're getting crafty, guys. It was two extremely attractive women.
Oh no.
How do you just shut the door in the face of two Mormons when it is two extremely attractive women.
Women
and they're not wearing like, you know, outfits or any, I mean,
pants.
They're wearing outfits, but they're not wearing like a white button up and a black pantsuit or anything. They are
halter top and like fucking
I would call,
like,
you know,
Lululemon.
Not sexy, not, you know, business professional, but I will say it was trendy. They were wearing trendy clothes.
Okay.
And it's like, and they're super nice about it.
You should look at them and just be like, what would Jesus think?
What would Jesus think, ladies? Let's talk about this. I should have said, you know what? Come in. Let's have a chat.
Yeah.
I should have just got super creepy. Me and my saints pajamas. Come on in, ladies. So, I'm going to show y'all a little bit of Witcher 3. How about this?
They'll love
that.
Right before I go play some Dungeons and Dragons.
So, In the past, whenever, you know, some sort of religious zealot comes in and, you know, knocks on my door, it's always been a terrible experience. So I'll give these ladies credit. They're super nice, super respectful when I told them that I'm not interested in everything like that. And we actually had a couple of jokes and everything. They're like, have you heard of the Book of Mormon? And I was like, I've heard of the Trey Parker and Matt Stone Broadway play, but I haven't really gotten
nice.
To the book. And they got a good chuckle out of it and everything. And they were like, well, we haven't seen that. So it was a charming back and forth, but it's insane how they opt out of the two, you know, nerd bros coming in and asking you about it, to where you literally want to claw their eyes out and slam the door in their face, and they go with two very young attractive girls. Really
yeah,
threw me
smart.
Off because I'm sitting here, I open the door and it's these two girls and they're dressed real nice, and I'm like, Megan, you finally made the call. You finally did it. It's happening.
You wish.
The four-way I've always wanted. It's here. And alas, it was fruitless. So yeah, I was just curious about that. Like, like I said, it was nice, but man, it was kind of a weird experience. I wasn't
Someone
expecting
would
that.
Someone say for forbidden sure. fruitless? Sorry,
ooh,
that was bad.
I like that. So yeah, anyway, that's pretty much everything that happened this week for me. It was a lively one. So, Jeff.
Hey.
Hit me, baby.
After recording last weekend, didn't do too much. Tawny and I just had like a quiet weekend in. We put together more IKEA shit. We put together that IKEA glass shelf.
More IKEA like, shit.
Yep. That thing that you have, Chris. You have a couple of
that,
those.
That's nice, right?
Yeah,
it's
I
not
like
bad.
Them. Like yeah. them a lot. So we put that together and fixed up the den a little more. Now it's looking a little bit more like a serviceable den and not a storage space. So that's good. It's coming together. And that's pretty much it. We were just kind of like, just did that on the weekend. I cooked for a new recipe,
nice.
Which is really good. Some Cajun pasta. I think, Travis, you would have given it the thumbs up.
Yeah, get a little kick to it.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. It was good
and
stuff.
Speaking my language, man.
Yep. Yeah. And God, we had that shit for days. Like, it made so much. I still have some in the fridge. I'm like, I'm not gonna eat it now because it's almost a week ago. But I was eating that shit for like 4 days. I'm like, I can't eat anymore.
See, I always overmake pasta.
Yeah,
I always have tons of pasta left over. And after a day, after about 24 hours, you can still serviceably eat the pasta as is. But after a couple, after the 48-hour mark happens, you got to start getting crafty and like pulling out like
I think
a loaf of bread and taking a couple slices of bread and putting the pasta in there and eating it like that or something.
Yeah,
like it's always getting a little rough. But
yeah, I made it on the Saturday and I think I stopped eating it on Tuesday morning. After my morning swim, I was like starving. I'm like, fuck healthy. I'm eating some pasta of this deliciousness. And that was pretty much it.
Pasta is really delicious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's been pretty much my weekend and work's been work and all that kind of stuff. So that's pretty much it. Chris, besides getting really fucking old this week, what did you do?
I know. I'm so much older than I was yesterday. let's see. This past weekend, what did we do this weekend? I don't even friggin' remember. It doesn't matter. Anyway, this week was a pretty good week at work. I kind of sort of got the promotion I was looking for.
Kind of sort of.
Kind of sort of.
He means all the responsibility, none of the pay.
Yeah, I got I got the pay, but I didn't get the pay grade increase. Does that make sense? So it's
so you got the money, but you didn't get the certain compensation level. Anyways.
Yeah, I got the title and the money, but I got the title and the money, but it's like they actually have like pay bands.
Yeah, same
and
here.
The position was supposed to move me up to the next band, but it didn't. And there was there's an organizational reason. It's like, you know, my boss's boss has like 10 promotions that he can give out for his entire organization, which is like 100 and something people. And because like I'm in a weird position and there's like there's three pay grades inside my pay grade. So I would just be going from one to the other as opposed to people actually moving from one grade to the other. So I don't know. It's very confusing and it doesn't matter. But basically my manager said, you're doing great. I can't actually move you to 7A, but I'm going to give you the monetary difference that you would get if you had gotten the promotion. I was like, all right, that's fine with me. And she goes, and you have the title. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. And she goes, we'll actually work on moving your pay band next year. I'm like, all right, whatever. That works for me. So that was good news. I'm happy about that. Our bonus went up 2% this year. So that was awesome too. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. Then let's see what else is going on this weekend. We are going to, Jekyll Brewing Company, for my little birthday soiree. That should be fun.
Jekyll?
Yeah. No, Jekyll.
Jekyll?
Jekyll, not Jekyll.
What happened to Jekyll?
What happened to
Jekyll?
He's
writing all the time.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard from him.
He's out there. He's prowling in the brush.
Send us an email and just say that I am still prowling. The foliage, that's right. But yeah, so we're going to go to probably do Main Event, which is like a bowling alley with a large arcade and a restaurant and a full bar, that kind of thing. And then after that, we're going to go to Jekyll and then probably hit Big Pie. So that'll wrap up my birthday and, it'll be good. Just a few friends getting together and drinking.
Cool.
Good stuff. But yeah, that's been my week. I've been playing some games.
Okay, then.
Some of that. Let's talk about distractions. And Jeff, why don't you go first?
Okay. I've literally,
did you get
playing
to play Division at all?
Not yet. No.
Fuck.
I signed up for both betas on PS4 and Xbox One. Xbox One started today, but you can totally, like, they, from what I can tell, I don't think anybody who didn't pre-order got in today. So I'm hoping that I get either one of the codes maybe tomorrow, because I think it's running just for this weekend, I think, like 3 days,
right.
4 days.
I think it's just this weekend, right?
Yeah, so I'm hoping to get at least one of them to try it out, and I've heard some good things. I've watched some videos on it and stuff, and people are saying it's really good, but I had the same feels with Destiny, with the alpha and the beta. But I was saying to you guys, like an email thread, like even if Division is like that much content, I feel like I got my money's worth of Destiny. I don't think it ripped me off by any means. Like, I played that game for like 60 hours.
Yeah.
That's like more than a lot of other fucking games I've played. So even if it is just that at the beginning, it looks interesting enough to kind of keep me engaged, hopefully.
Yeah, and I mean, Destiny kicked off basically a new genre. You know, it's this publicly collective first-person shooter, or just shooter
co-op,
in general.
Like,
you know, not open world, not an MMO, but like just this very, very social shooter. And I think they've had plenty of time to really observe what, you know, the hits and misses of Bungie. So they've had plenty of time. Obviously, they had plenty of time to develop this game because it's been in development for forever. But I think they've had an opportunity to really learn just by, I mean, you can go to Bungie's Reddit page and just kind of just read pages and pages and pages of things that you know, people have been asking for a long time, or things that were missing from the start. You know, fixes that were there at the beginning, but they don't want anymore. I mean, there's tons of stuff that's out there. So this is an opportunity to really show, and I think it's very important for this game to do well for this new genre, because we see the Division succeed. We're going to see a lot more spread out.
I see a lot of people who really are playing Destiny saying they're really interested in the Division, which is really good for the Division. And probably
it looks really similar
Destiny until Destiny 2 comes out, I'm guessing, which isn't a bad thing.
And that may be true, but like I've talked to one person who played it, and he says it doesn't really play anything like Destiny.
No, I don't think it plays
anything
like Destiny.
No, you can look at it and tell it looks, I mean, it'll feel nothing like Destiny.
It's more of a cover shooter. It's a cover shooter, basically.
Yeah.
It's not.
And it's third person, right?
It's third person.
But it still kind of fits in that genre.
Sure. It's the same type of thing.
Absolutely.
Like, I look at Destiny as being like the reinvention of PSO, like, in a way, even though.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I've mentioned on the show that it
very
kind of
simple,
felt
like
PSO when I was playing it. So.
Any console person could figure it out pretty much, and you're just kind of doing that stuff. And that's kind of looks like the Division could be just like another step in that kind of genre. So I'm hoping.
It matters to content. It's down to content, really.
Yeah, that's exactly what it comes down to.
It's down to content.
Because, like, there's no question Destiny was fun. And then. Like, when you're playing through the content for the first time, and that's what this could very well could be the same thing. I'm just hoping to at least try it to see if I actually like the gameplay before.
Are they going to do any like larger like co-op experiences, like multiplayer experiences?
They
like
didn't
the raid
mention
and
any
Destiny?
Like raids. They didn't say anything about that. But it looks like they're really putting a big focus on the PvP stuff, which I think looks really cool.
Talking about the dark
zone,
type
section? Stuff.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting stuff there. Now it's. Well, one of the big things about it is, you know, if you're running with a group of people, say, for instance, Chris and I have our group in Destiny, you know, we can kind of work it to where, you know, this session in the Dark Zone, you know, we're going to run it three times. There's three of us in this group, and we're going to run it three times. And the keys that you receive and then the loot chest that, you know, will eventually drop or spawn or however it works, you know, this run is going to be Chris's run. So Chris is going to get the gear because you have the ability to, you know, go in with your three-man team and go in there and fight PvP and fight through guys.
But is it only one? This is what I was afraid of. Is it only one thing of loot? I've read and seen that it's
in the PvE section.
It's just one.
It's your loot. You see your loot, and Chris will see his.
So
loot.
Yeah, similar
but
to
the PvP
Destiny.
Stuff. I thought you can still get multiple loot. It's just if you want, you can kill everyone.
Multiple
and get
loot is there, but I think in the PvP section, it's up for grabs for anyone. So team could essentially, you could go and pick up loot, and Chris could go shoot you in the back of the head, kill you,
and take
and grab
all
that
the,
loot.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So instead, just go in and be like, hey, we do this run, everything's going to Chris no matter what we get, kind of
thing. Yeah, they have a name for it.
But
it's
you
call,
can't do
it's
that
called,
because
in
you
the,
can't
in
trade.
The Division, it's called going rogue or something that.
Yeah.
So you can go rogue on your team and kill everybody. And take
but can you do that, though, if you don't kill them? Because they came out and said you're not going to be able to trade or give items to people.
Exactly. No, yeah, I think you can just say, hey guys, this is my run. I'm gonna go ahead and grab this loot.
But because someone accidentally picks it up, then you can't. You're big. Oh well, sorry, dude, I picked this up by accident.
Yeah,
it's mine now.
It's gone.
Yeah. But then you have to worry about other players, like because there's a whole bunch of AI dudes in there, like NPCs shooting at you.
There's AI guys, and there's also a PV. You know, there's
other
the PVP element. So there's other real life players playing.
You can team up.
Yeah, you have to watch out for that.
Yeah. So it basically comes down to them. If they want to be greedy, you want to be greedy and shoot the other team, like,
right,
and that kind of thing. Which at first I thought that mode was going to be well, I can't say if it is or not because I haven't played it. But I thought it was one piece of loot. I thought there was going to be like one legendary thing that everyone's going for.
I was under that impression as well, to be honest with you. And I'll be honest, we can't make an opinion about it, a fair opinion, because of the fact that we haven't played it, obviously. But it's even though some of us still do that anyway, but we
self-burn.
I'm sorry, but that just sounds terrible to me. Like, I have if it was to like play that, it would be and awful. Experience it. It sounds very stressful and very terrifying. Like, I don't know what. I don't know how excited that makes me.
I just hope they give people something, because then you might run into groups that are just going to grief people and go in there and just fuck them up regardless and take their shit. And it just seemed like a big waste of time if people legit aren't like good at the game. And that could be a bad thing. But hey, we'll wait till we play it. Who knows? Maybe it's well balanced or something. I don't know.
Yeah, mine's downloading right now. All 100,000 gigs.
Is it big?
It's fucking huge. It's like 25 gigs.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow. Crap. I should probably start mine before I go to bed tonight.
I would definitely think about that, Chris.
That's probably a good idea.
it's hefty. Yeah.
But I played some Bloodborne, started a new game of Bloodborne because Captain Harlock started playing that. He got it.
Oh, yeah. You were mentioning that.
Yeah. Oh, did I mention that last week already?
Well, yeah. We didn't really do distractions last week, so go ahead and talk
about it. Oh, yeah. Basically, he got it on. He wanted to play it. So we were going to try to do co-op, but I totally forgot you can't do co-op until you get both bells. So we just kind of played together at the same time, like in a party chat. It's just weird how the first time going through that first area is so much easier when you've already done it before.
Oh, for sure.
It's like crazy. Like I got to Father Glassgloin with only dying once or twice. And I was like, damn. And he was like having a hard time with Cleric Beast, and it's hard to like give tips when you, cause you just get used to the way that game plays, I guess, and what it, you know, the dodging and stuff. So, yeah, that was cool. That was right before Game of the Year, so that kind of put that right back in my head of how much I like that game. And the only other game I've been playing, man, is Witcher 3 from that point, because I thought it was near the end before Game of the Year, and I was not even close to the end. I thought it was. But I'm... After the Battle of Kaer Morhen or whatever, and I beat Emlyrth or whatever the hell his name is, and I did... Mm-hmm. I've done the three quests after that, Travis, you remember? There's one with Triss, one with Yennefer, and then one with Avalash, or whatever the hell his name is.
Avalok.
Yeah. Oh, Avalok, and Ciri.
Yeah.
So I've done those. There's four. So that's what I'm at. I've done those four things. So
I don't want to tell you where you're at anymore, because every time you said, Travis, I'm at this point right here in the game, and I'm like, oh, you're very close to the end. I've told you you're very close to the end like three times, and you seem to not be very close to the end.
But you probably burned through it. I remember you like got through that game really fast.
I started last week my new game plus, and I'm already at the Battle of Kaer Morhen. I'm recruiting all those.
So you're not doing any of the side stuff, really, or no?
Not as much. I'm doing a few... I'm doing all of the... Well, when you do new game plus, you get the... you know, when you're doing the treasure hunts, you can get all the diagrams for your armor. Well, in New Game Plus, there's legendary armor now. So you're upgrading the four tiers, the four quality tiers on this legendary set. And it gives you, I mean, it's like a 40% extra bonus. Because, I mean, New Game Plus can be tough in some areas. You're always going to hit hard because your weapons are just...
So is the game actually harder in New Game Plus?
The enemies hit a lot harder, but your damage output is...
Still the same.
It's a lot bigger.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, you can have the best swords in the game. Well, when you transfer to New Game Plus, you'll find a Velen longsword that is, like, way better than your best sword from your previous playthrough. So, yeah, it's the weapons and armor scale considerably. So, it is more difficult. You have to be careful when you're receiving damage. But when you're giving damage, you're just mowing through things.
Yeah, I think I'm going to, once I beat it, I think I'm just going to go right into the first expansion, Hearts and Stone, or where the hell it is.
Right. I wanted to fix my Triss relationship status just in case.
Gotcha.
And then I'm probably not going to pick up Hearts of Stone until the second DLC comes out, so I can play both DLCs and just have another like full 30-hour experience with
Witcher. Makes sense.
I'm going to hold off.
Yeah, I just remember like that game, the writing. I think that's the best writing in a video game ever. Like that.
I think it's the best adaptation of previous text to a video game. In history, it's...
What do you mean? Like, because of their novels that started before that?
Well, not just because they created a cool game out of it. They really... They adapt lore so well.
Yeah, see, I can't comment.
So well.
Travis, was it you that was telling me about how much a dick the author was, though? Or was
he's a crotchety old bastard who doesn't understand video games as an art form. Oh, yeah, he's so...
He's just... Like, the things that I've read about this guy, he's just such an asshat.
Yeah, he's a cock.
I don't know. It's funny. Like, a game literally has like laugh out loud moments, and it's not even like a comedy. It's really funny. Just some of the things that the characters say to each other. I'm like, that is so spot on.
So I'm really enjoying that like a lot. I'm really liking that game, and I'm hoping I can beat it at least before the next big game comes out, so I have time to do at least the first expansion and whatnot. That's basically it. It's been like The Witcher all week, like since the weekend to now has been The Witcher.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, for me it was a lot of Witcher, just playing, like I said, playing through my game plus. Yeah. And I played a couple of games. You know, we haven't had a chance to really talk about much distractions in the last month. I picked up a indie title called Three Fourths Home. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. When someone was explaining it online to me, they were just kind of speaking my language in terms of, hey, it's an emotional ride. You make a lot of conversation choices. Basically, what happens is this game is you're in the character of this girl who you start at the family home, and it's 2D, black and white, and you basically hold R2 to accelerate your car through this thunderstorm as you're driving home to your family, and you receive a phone call from your mother, and then it's basically the entire game spans across this one phone call with your family. So you'll stop and you talk to your mom, your brother, your father, all while you're driving home. So you're consistently going and things happen, and it's supposed to, you know, just summon some emotions and stuff like that. And it hits a couple of points here and there, but overall I was kind of underwhelmed by the game. So I mean, people like that kind of thing. By the end, you kind of perceive your own ending, and it's in a situation like that. I want some finality, and I really didn't get that in that game. I don't know if I'm just not smart enough to understand it. It was just a little pretentious, and I don't know. I didn't absorb it as well as I thought I was going to. Have I talked about Banner Saga?
I think a little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
I really, really dug Banner Saga. I played a small bit. I've always wanted to play it. And then a while back, months back, we got an announcement that it is coming to PS4. So I was excited about that. So I wanted to get a taste of it just to make sure that if I spent the money on Banner Saga on the PS4, that it was going to be something that I knew I was going to like. So a buddy of mine in a cubicle next to me at work had it, and I played a couple of matches, and I'm like, okay, this is something. This is my jam. I love this. So basically what it is, it's a hybrid of two games. So the first is your strategy RPG, you know, your grid-based strategy RPG.
Okay.
Which is hit or miss with me. You know, Final Fantasy Tactics is too much. There's too much micromanagement. There's 100 characters in a game. Anybody can be any job. You put every single piece of equipment you can think of. The micromanagement is insane in Final Fantasy Tactics. It's just, I don't understand how people beat that game. It's too fucking deep. I don't know how you did it, man. You're a better person than I am, because that is
I went overboard with that game, dude. I went overboard with that game.
But it's an intense game, correct?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It
took all of my attention when I was playing it.
Yeah, but this is more on the side of like Vandal Hearts, you know, very light.
Okay.
But right. Even over to the point where you don't even equip weapons. You know, there are a few classes, very minimal, because you have different races. You have these the race of giants, and then you have these the human race and everything. And each of these two races have, you know, two or three classes spread between them and everything, like a berserker class or a shield and sword class or an archer. You don't choose them. They just come, you know, pre-canned classes with each of these characters that are embedded into the story and everything. And so you're going through your grid-based combat. And so you're moving your character around. It's, if you're no stranger to this, you'll kind of jump into the game very, very naturally. But they do a lot of cool stuff with the combat. Everybody's, has two health bars, basically. One's for armor, one's for, your health. But your health is also your strength, for damage. So if you have 10 armor and 10 strength points, you can attack somebody and hit for 10, but if someone has an armor of 5 that you're attacking, you're only going to hit for 5 points.
Okay.
So it gives you this really cool situation where, you know, you're attacking somebody and, you know, you may have a couple of guys who are a little bit wounded, so you have to make the choice, okay, do I attack this armor where I feel like I'm not doing anything up front in terms of damaging this character, but when you lower that armor, whoever's next up on the timeline to attack and he's got like 22 strength, you know that he's going to really wail away on this guy because you're chipping away at his armor. You know, or you make the decision, do I go ahead and attack his health because I'm getting him close to death, but also I'm making him attack less stronger as well. So there's a lot of thought that's put into such a simple system, and I thought that was really novel. So the combat side is fun. And then the other half of the game is Oregon Trail. The other half of the game kind of works in this 2D plane, where you're a caravan of, fighters, soldiers, and like clansmen, you just kind of roll in a 2D plane from left to right or right to left. And every, you know, 2 minutes or so, the little menu pops up and it says, hey, you know, a couple of villagers are walking your way. They say you need your help, and you have to make decisions whether or not to accept them in your party or turn them away, or, you know, they seem a little aggressive, you know, threaten to attack them. And certain things happen based on what decisions you make. So it has that Oregon Trail kind of feel to it, which is really fun. It keeps the game constantly interesting. And there's a lot of risk reward to some of the stuff, and it can get frustrating. You can make a decision that seems fine, and the next thing you know, a day later on your caravan, you find out that half of your supplies were stolen by the people you let into the caravan earlier. So it can get a little frustrating there, but overall, really, really fun experience. If you like the strategy RPG, if you like games like Oregon Trail, a little bit of
sounds like Chris's alley for sure.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
If I had the time, it certainly would be.
I mean, Jeff, you may even like it, man. It's not deep at all, and it's fun. It's a good combat system. Graphically, it's got that Disney / Don Bluth type of 80s cartoon look to it, so it's got a really charming feel. And we have Banner Saga 2 already released. That's going to be out on PC real soon, and hopefully this game sells well on PlayStation, so I'd like to see it, the second one on the PlayStation. But other than that, that's pretty much everything that is... that is it. And I picked up Madden with a little bit of gift card money, but it's Madden. But yeah, that's it. Chris.
All right. Let's see. What did I play? I finished up Tomb Raider. Did we talk about that?
I think we talked
about it slightly on the last show.
You talked about
it on
the Game of the Year. You just said you beat
it. Yeah.
You didn't talk.
Yeah, so I did end up beating that. Very good experience. I think we talked about it enough on the Game of the Year show, though, mm-hmm. because we went into pretty in-depth there at the end. But fantastic game, highly suggested. If you don't have an Xbox One, it's coming out on PC. It's out now. It's out.
Out today.
So it came out this week. Go pick it up. It's pretty awesome. Let's see. What else? I played some Galaxy finally.
Nice. Captain Harlock's like, I'm listening.
I only played one playthrough. So it's broken up into like, seasons. And you have to get through 5 straight stages to get to the next season. And if you progress to the next season, you can pick up there after you die. But if you die, you lose everything, right? Unless you like spend, you can actually like spend a continue and then you can go pick up your stuff. It's almost like, it's similar to, like the Souls games in that way. Like all your stuff is apparently, I didn't continue, so I haven't tried it, but I think all of your stuff is like, held in the stage somewhere, and you have to go find it. And if you find it, you get all your gear back. But it's very much like a pixel junk shooter in the way that it plays. So it's like a pixel junk shooter roguelike. But it's really interesting, and I had a lot of fun with it. And, they have a couple of mechanics in it that are interesting. Like there's a juke mechanic, which literally makes your ship jump over bullets. So that was pretty cool. Got me out of a lot of sticky situations, but, yeah, I liked it. It was really, really good. I'm looking forward to picking it up again. And hopefully I made it to the 1-4. So I didn't quite make it to the second season, but I made it to the 4th stage in the first season before I died. Some pretty big bosses come at you in that game. It gets pretty hectic after a while. Let's see. Played some more, Rebel Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I am really glad that that's what I kept on my list for number 10, because that is pretty much all I played this week outside of Galaxy. I've been playing the shit out of that game.
Is that just on PC right now?
It's PC and PS4.
Okay.
So it's $20. $20 on PS4. PC, it might be less on Steam. But, yeah, I mean, it's really, really fun. I've upgraded my ship a couple times. I'm able to take on some more challenging missions. The mission variety is, it's okay. It's not great. A lot of times it's go here and blow these guys up. And that gets pretty interesting because some of those, you know, you'll end up taking on like capital ships and shit. I want to add to the way I described it last week. Last week I was saying how it's very much similar to Assassin's Creed's naval battles. Yeah. And that is still very much the case. I would also add that it kind of feels like, the Star Trek MMO when you're in the ship combat. It's a little bit more action oriented, but it's less micromanaging and more like actual, like aiming and shooting. So, with the Star Trek, you were like, obviously you were just giving commands, like it was an MMO. You were clicking buttons and the ship was doing stuff. With Rebel Galaxy, most of the time what you're doing is you're working on your broadside weapons. So you're kind of flying, with the camera facing, the side, like either the port or the, starboard side of the ship and firing your, broadside weapons. All your turrets are AI controlled. So any, like if your ship has any turrets, it'll, all that is handled for you. And the new ship that I've got has got like four different turrets on it. So I've got like all kinds of shit going on. And all I'm doing is focusing on the broadside and what I'm attacking. So, it's actually really, really nice that way.
So Chris, every time we've talked about this game, you've always brought up, you know, the combat and everything. So I understand what to expect from that side of the game, but what's in between the combat? Like, what do you do in between that?
I mean, honestly, that's mostly what it is. And I think that's one of the reasons I like it. I mean, you're going to different star bases, and picking up missions and you're talking to people and like to progress the story, you know, there's specific story missions and you're talking to specific people and like you can go to like each station has a bar, you can go get information and, you know, you can do, like they have mining. You can go to asteroid fields and actually do some mining and get, rare materials to sell, to get better equipment and, for the ship and better ships.
So like you said you can go into bars and everything. Is that kind of set up like, you know, traditional, like, strategy RPGs where,
no, it's not. You don't do any walking
like
around.
Wing Commander, Privateer.
Everything is pretty much menu driven.
Yeah, exactly.
You get pictures of what's going on, but everything like you get facial shots of who you're talking to and that kind of thing, but everything is pretty much menu driven. And then, you know, some of the other, like you'll pick up dead drops, like that'll be some of the missions. And so it's not all fighting, but it's the majority of it is the combat. Yeah. That's where it excels. So, but yeah, really loving that game. I also picked up, The Witness.
Oh, you did?
I just picked it up today, so I haven't played it a ton. I think I played it for maybe a half an hour. It was just enough to get through, and get an idea of how the puzzles work. So it's very much like the first set of puzzles and it's important to, you know, and I'm sure that other podcasts have talked about this, so I don't want to go too deep into it, but it's very important to realize that every single puzzle.
Maybe our listeners don't listen to other podcasts, Chris.
Maybe they don't. Every puzzle that you do is teaching you something it's a progression. So there's a few areas where you'll get like a line, like there's this long board and the board might have five or six puzzles on it. And you walk up to the first puzzle and you have to solve that one before you can go to the next one. And it's a progression. It's teaching you something, throughout each, like each puzzle is teaching you like a different way of looking at things. Just to give you guys an idea of some of the things that I ran into, that are, you know, these apparently get really, really hard where you like have to have a notebook and shit. So I haven't gotten that deep into it.
Oh, but, I've like, heard some like even because of how much it's teaching you, you'll actually forget stuff.
Yeah.
Sooner than you learn new stuff. So it's like, all right, need to write some shit down.
Yeah. Even just in like the first half hour, like the game taught me five or six mechanics about these puzzles, you know? So it's definitely not light on those mechanics. It throws them at you pretty quickly. Like the first one you get is, you know, you're just solving a maze. And then all of a sudden you'll see a similar maze where, there's like a white box and a black box, like outside of the path. Does that make sense? So the idea is that you have to run the line for the maze in between the white and the black box. And then they start, you know, expanding on that. So they'll have like four white boxes and like six black boxes. And you have to figure out the right path to go so that you are basically making it so that there's a line in between the white and the black boxes in every single direction. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And then you get to points where there's like these little dots within your path. And you have to pick them all up. And then they get to the point where there's certain colored dots on the maze and you can only pick those up with a certain color line. And the way it does that is like when you start the maze, it'll actually draw two lines and one is an exact mirror image of what you're doing, in the other one. And it gets, I mean, it just in the half hour I played it, there were a couple of times where I got stumped for a minute or two just trying to figure out where I was going.
And get used to that.
I know. That's what I've heard. So, and like one of the things that I thought, like I ended the one that where I ended before I had to jump on and record the show, it was, one of the ones where you could start either at the bottom left or the top right. And as you draw, it's like there's a mirror like going diagonal across the box, across the square that the puzzle is. And so like as you're drawing one side, the other side is drawing with you. Well, what happens is that eventually that other line goes away. But like, you know, the colored dots I was telling you about, you still have to make it so that the line you can't see is crossing those dots. So it really makes you envision, you have to really envision exactly what's happening with what would be happening with the line on the other side. So
that sounds terrible.
No, like, and that's the thing. It sounds terrible, but until you experience it, it's just hard to explain, you know, and it was really neat, you know, and, right. You know, every puzzle that you do.
Yeah. It sounds like something you have to see. Like every time I've heard someone to describe it, I don't really get it until I saw like the quick look and I'm starting to see things. Yeah. I'm like, okay, now I kind of see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, did the quick look change your mind? Like bring you back to the maybe?
Who, me?
The maybe section?
No, let me tell you something. If you don't like puzzle games, don't buy this fucking game. No, seriously.
Like I was going to be like, hell no. But yeah. Then watching the quick look, I was like, okay, maybe. But after listening to like the Giant Bomb podcast, like the way, like the frustration that they all went through, but they said it's still fucking awesome. I was like, ah, man, I don't know if I want to go through that shit.
This is the Dark Souls of puzzle games.
That's, yeah. I think I mean, I'd have fun with it if like, me and Tanya sat down or me and somebody else sat down and played the game together.
Yeah, play it together.
Exactly. Like, so I don't have to have all that frustration just on me, but I'm not going to buy it for like right now. I mean, when it goes on sale or something, maybe I'll pick it up.
Right.
But I'm definitely not getting it right now. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 40 bucks is a little too rich.
40 bucks is pretty steep.
On something.
Yeah. 40 bucks is pretty steep. But what I've heard about it, it sounded interesting to me. And I haven't played a good puzzle game in a while. So that's why I kind of jumped on it. And I am glad I did. I will definitely continue to play it. I'm not sure how far I'm going to get. The good thing is that so far, I know that there's some colored puzzles in there, but what I've gotten to, what I've done so far, has not been a problem. So there have been.
Well, like, we'll just talk about it now, so we don't have to revisit it in news. But yes, there are some color puzzles in the game that are kind of not too
colorblind
friendly. Yeah, colorblind friendly at all.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Blow have come out and said, yeah, him and the dev team did know that, but there's only a minimal amount of puzzles that are in it that are color based and they're not essential to beating the game.
Right. And so. That's what I heard the same thing when I listened to Giant Bomb. It's a situation where, you know, it's just a small subset of the puzzles and they're optional. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's fine. You know, cool. I'm okay with that.
No, totally fine. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it for me. So that's a good transition. Let's move on to news.
Well, that was the first part of the news.
There you go.
You already heard it. Foreshadowing. Another one is, the Division beta just went live today. And Digital Foundry did like a little thing on it. And they noticed that the Division, this is just the Xbox One version, only because the PS4 version doesn't come out till technically tomorrow, which would be Friday, if you're listening to this, the 29th, I think. That there's actually,
if you're listening to this, you missed the beta.
Yeah, pretty much. but there's actually graphical settings. There's two sliders, one for image quality and one for something that I've never
chromatic
heard of.
Aberration.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
One of them apparently has to do with some kind of lighting effects or whatever. Like the light effects are always still be there. It just depends on how good they are. Neither of these affect frame rate. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. The image sharpening is image sharpening. So one is a toggle and one is a slider. The image sharpening is a slider. Apparently the sweet spot to hit it is around 75-80%.
That's what I was reading, yeah.
Yeah, when you pump it up to 100, some really thin, small edges will have kind of like a halo effect around it. Apparently it's not terribly, terribly bad, but it is noticeable to the eye when you're moving around really fast. And then the toggle, the chromatic aberration, kind of mimics a camera lens. So if you shake a camera lens, if you're holding a camera and you shake it, you'll kind of get this little bit of a blur effect and everything. Mm-hmm. But since this game has kind of like a, you know, your UI has kind of like a decayed look, it can kind of echo.
Yeah.
Your video can echo a little bit. It kind of replaces the, it takes the contrast points that usually aren't visible. If you turn it off, they're not visible. But if they are, it'll kind of like your crosshair will kind of echo a little bit, and it'll be different red, green, and blue colors and everything. So you can opt to have that on or have that off, which I love having these options.
Sure. I mean,
to be honest with you, I like
the sharpness one also doesn't affect resolution. So the resolution is still 1080p. What it does affect is the anti-aliasing, how high that goes and what they use. So if you put it all the way up, it's going to have a lot of anti-aliasing to make it really smooth, but it could possibly add to like blurry connections too. That's where the halo things come into effect, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
but like you said, doesn't affect frame rate.
It doesn't affect frame rate. It doesn't affect resolution. It just affects.
That's weird. Okay.
Like, it's really strange. That's why like we're having a kind of discussion on the Interactive Distractions Facebook page of like what people want. I'm like, I would rather prefer like pick 1080p 30 frames or like 720 or 900p 60 frames. You know, like that's like a big difference. This doesn't seem like it's a big difference, but it's still something that you don't really see in console games at all. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a far cry from the settings that PC games have,
God,
but
yeah,
it's
for sure.
It's a step in the right direction.
And it's not just on Xbox One.
I have to admit that
I'm assuming it's where they're also
it took
in the
this
PS4
long
version
for
as well.
This
just
to happen.
That the
you
PS4
said...
version doesn't go on live till tomorrow. So, the what?
Sorry, I was going to say that I'm surprised that it took this long for this to come up. But you said this happened
in
the original BioShock too. Yeah,
the original BioShock you could turn off VSync and it would run in 60 frames, but it had a shitload of screen tearing.
Okay. Yeah, I think the VSync thing I've seen on consoles, but like an actual quality slider of sorts, I've never
it
seen.
It hasn't really been there. No. Yeah. So
it's pretty cool.
It's kind
of
cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you know, it just shows it thinning that line between PC and console stuff. Insomniac
Games. It's actually been pretty split too on the Facebook page. Cause Ryan Murawski said that when it comes to console games, I don't want graphics options at all. He says he wants it either to look good or suck.
Yeah, I'm kind of with him. Like that's yeah. Why I've said it a million times on the show. Like that's why I kind of went away from PC gaming, because the ability to adjust so many different sliders just overwhelms me, and I just keep fiddling with that shit. I'm like, maybe I can make this look a little bit better and not take a hit to performance. Oh, and I'm going to lower this a little bit. And then it just takes away from my enjoyment. I'm like, am I really playing this at the best thing? I'd rather just have like a console that's limited and be like, this is the best I'm going to get regardless. So this is what I'm fucking playing. Or the worst, whatever, either way you want to go. But yeah, I don't, something small as this, I think that's cool. Once they start getting into the whole, like, if they add in like a whole bunch of different ones, then I'll probably be like,
I would like a situation where they said, okay, you can either have higher quality, like textures or 60 frames per second. So,
yeah,
that's, you know, and you get to choose earlier which one you want. Yeah, so something
exactly. Simple. Something really simple like that. Like the BioWare or BioShock thing. It's like VSync on. 30 frames a second. VSync off, 60 frames a second.
Yeah.
But screen tearing up the asshole. That's like basically what it was. But it was pretty bad screen tearing, and we're trying it. I'm like, oh, this is really smooth. Oh, whoa. That's
I didn't play the first one, so I don't know. But cool.
Insomniac, they announced their new game today and had a new trailer for it. The game is called Deep Down, Song of the Deep. That's it. I was going to say Deep Down, but Deep Down's that game that kind of went the way of the wayside. No one's heard of it for a long time. But game Song of the Deep, it's like a, what would you describe this?
Well, Travis, it's kind of like it's like an underwater Metroidvania
type thing.
It's interesting. It's a passion project that Insomniac's been wanting to work on and release for quite some time, and haven't been able to do it until a certain publisher stepped in, which kind of made everybody's head turn and tilt a little bit.
Is this one that GameStop? Yeah.
GameStop is publishing it.
That's weird.
Well, is it weird?
Well, they did announce a long time ago they're going to get into game publishing. So,
oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
So, especially on the Facebook page, the big conversation was whether or not is this, you know, having retailers, you know, kind of come out and publishing games and everything. Because obviously when this announcement came out, you don't even have to read the article to understand the climate that this game is going to be surrounded in, as, you know, obviously it'll be open to download on consoles. digitally. But if you want to sell, if you want to buy a physical copy, you're only going to get it at this retailer who published the game.
Exactly.
And that's exactly how it's going to go down for sure. So if you want to go into a brick and mortar and pick up this title, you have to go to GameStop.
Which at that point, I think it's fine. But the thing is, also covered in the Facebook page is, I don't think that the audience for this game are the people that go to GameStop to get games. So that's what I'm wondering, like, what their piece of the pie is. Like, they obviously are going to get some kind of money. They're going to get money for everything that comes in the download. I want to know how prevalent that GameStop logo is going to be on the digital releases, because there are a lot of people out there who just cannot stand GameStop. They will just not. It's like Activision or, like, whatever, like, or Sony or Microsoft. There's people that will, I refuse to buy anything of their shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that could hurt them.
You know, I can see that there's a stigma around that, but at the end of the day, gamers need to fucking get over themselves.
If the game is good,
Gamers need to get over themselves and just understand, you know, look at this from the bird's eye view of things. This is giving developers an opportunity now to release games that they were not going to previously release, and because we have new publisher options stepping in to release titles. So it's more video games, more options for you to sit down on your console and fucking enjoy playing games. And there's, at the end of the day, there's nothing bad about this. I'm not saying anything great for GameStop.
In general, it's fine, the more
publishers, the more people who step up, more companies who step up.
The more people that are ready to publish stuff like this is good. Because
it's more games.
It's a big multi-million dollar corporation that's going to publish games on an indie scale, technically.
Yeah.
Which is
we're starting to see problems with Kickstarter. We're starting, you know, with your Mighty No. 9 situations and everything. We're starting to see a lot of issues with Kickstarter. And this rectifies some of that.
Yeah.
You know, this is a prime example of a game that could have been Kickstarted. And
Microsoft took a chance on Sunset Overdrive, and that did not do well. And that was, like, that had nothing to do with GameStop or, like, some, like, crazy, like, well, a lot of people hate Microsoft, but it's not like they couldn't do it. They could not make Microsoft or Sunset Overdrive sell. I want to know if Insomniac even went to Sony or Microsoft at this point, or EA, or anyone, like, any of their past publishers. And if they did, and they all got turned down, and GameStop did step up and say, yeah, we will do this, that's great.
Yeah. I don't think it matters who publishes it. EA has been voted the worst company in the world for like 4 years straight, and did that stop us from buying Mass Effect?
No, God, no.
No. Not at all, so.
Yeah. What else? Yeah. That game looks pretty cool. They just kind of announced it. I don't think there's a release date on there, so. What else here? Sorry, I'm kind of going down this list. We talked about the Witcher Colorblind thing. That was a thing. That's pretty much it. Oh, Travis, you want to talk about the whole Ubisoft
thing? There's some things that kind of dropped this evening. If people aren't familiar, Double Fine does a Let's Play, but with other gaming developers, called Devs Play. It's a really good video. I highly recommend it. It's one of the better Let's Plays that are out on the internet right now. But on this episode, they had the Beyond Good and Evil creator, Michael Ansel, on the show. And of course, during this conversation, while they're doing the Let's Play, they were discussing Beyond Good and Evil 2. And he basically did an unofficial announcement that this game is still in development.
But he doesn't work for Ubisoft anymore, though, does he?
He doesn't. It makes me think that, I mean, the question is, does Ubisoft still
own
the IP? I mean, that's something that I don't believe we know at the moment and everything. You know, this game's been in development since 2008. We saw a little bit of a gameplay tease years and years and years ago, back in 2010.
It was a long time ago.
But then this game has just kind of just fell off the map, and everybody was assuming that this was something that was not going to happen ever again. And I still don't think, I mean, Jeff and I talk about it off air, I do not think this game is ever going to see the light of day.
Probably not.
I do not. And
I could see it not coming out.
And that's the problem. You know, these 10-year dev cycles, look at Final Fantasy 15. You know, Square Enix is one of the worst offenders of this. They're teasing and teasing. We obviously know this game is going to come out eventually because of the status the game's in. We've had the demos
think about the games that have come out previously that have had this type of life cycle, this type of dev cycle. I mean, what can you think of? I can think of Duke Nukem Forever, which fucking sucked. And I can think of Too Human, which was
also
less
sucked.
Than stellar, yeah. I mean, those are the two games that really stand out when you talk about this type of dev cycle that takes years and years and years. The only other one that comes to mind is Last Guardian, and I guess we'll find out how that's going to be this year.
Jury's still out on that.
Yeah, jury's still out. Sure. It looks good, but looks can be deceiving, so I mean, we'll find out.
Yeah, we're going into the better part of 8 years into the life cycle of Beyond Good and Evil 2, if you even want to call it a life cycle. I don't think this game is even close to getting
I don't think it's been in development that long. I think they thought about it for a year, then scrapped it, thought about it again for a bit. I don't think it's actually been in development for that long.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter. That's the thing. It's like this... Like Beyond Good and Evil didn't sell well. Like, it was not a great selling game. And they re-released it on HD version, still didn't sell very well.
And Ansel touched on that. He said Beyond Good and Evil 2 has to be great. When we started Beyond Good and Evil 1, there was not that much that much pressure. The crazy thing is Beyond Good and Evil was really not that successful, and nobody talked about the game. And now, year after year, more and more people are talking about Beyond Good and Evil 2, which I don't see anywhere. Like, no. I'm all over forums. I'm all over video game news on a daily basis. We all are. And I haven't heard of Beyond Good and Evil 2 in 5 years. Easy.
Yeah, when did they show it at E3? There was 1 year they brought it up at E3.
Oh, it was like it was like 2010 or something.
It was 2010.
Like 2011. It was like a long time
ago. It's the last time I saw it, so.
I just want this to stop. I want this. And Jeff and I also mentioned on off air, if this game was coming out, we would have had a Kickstarter already.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because this would have been Kickstarted.
Yeah.
For sure.
They should have done that. Anyway,
I just want devs to stop doing this. Your
stop
game's
teasing.
Not official.
Stop teasing. Stop being like, it's still in development. We're still working on it. Like, shit or get off the pot, you know?
Yeah, I'm tired of this.
It's been too fucking long. And you're going to get to the point where no one gives a flying fuck anymore. And they're not going to know what the hell that game is. So, one thing that everyone knows who the fuck it is that's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Everyone knows the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
So, it kind of... Kind of leaked a while ago, but it officially was the official leak in Platinum.
The official leak.
Great, great fucking PR. Whoever is the head of their social media marketing.
Yeah, that was good.
Applause. Just applause. Such a great comment. The official leak.
Yep.
Love it.
So the Platinum announced their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutants in Manhattan trailer. They showed that off. What do you guys think? I think it's from Platinum Team B, so they're Korra. Transformers, better. And then now this.
We will
which
see.
Has to be good.
I'm
it's gotta be good, guys. It's gotta be good.
You know what? I thought Korra was gonna be good, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's really not.
I've been hype on this since the achievement list leaked a couple of months back.
Mm-hmm.
And because obviously it shows that, you know, of the achievements that are available, it directly pointed to open world gameplay. And it seems, you know, with the official trailer that came out, it seems that we're going to get this 4-player co-op open world Manhattan Ninja Turtles game. And just obviously the thing that really stands out aside from, you know, what gameplay we saw was the art style, which is a mix of the Saturday morning cartoon, but with the rough edges of the comic book, which is really nice. And it looks like they're bringing back like all these great characters. You know, obviously we see Shredder, the Foot. We got Bebop and Rocksteady, who look awesome.
Yeah, they did look really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks great. It kind of sounds like Nickelodeon cartoon voice actors are coming on. It sounds familiar, but I haven't heard enough of their voices to really confirm that.
I think my big problem with Transformers was that it looked amazing, but I thought the gameplay didn't suit the Transformers universe. Like, when doing all these, like, 100-hit combos... and transforming into cars in the middle of, like, for a split second. It just didn't seem like that's what these big, huge, hulking robots would do. But that's what Ninja Turtles would do. And that's the same type of gameplay in this that looks, like, better. I think it's going to suit it a lot more. And I think this could be...
I think so.
This could be the one that puts Platinum Team B, like, you know... It's $50. I think it's $50.
Really?
I think they announced it at $50, yeah.
Oh.
It's the same price as Transformers when it first released.
Right.
It's $10 cheaper than when
and it's releasing on everything.
Literally
if you have
everything.
If you have an Apple Watch, it's
which is
releasing on that.
Also kind of scary to me.
That's the only scary thing about it. The $50 price point makes me think, okay, this is going to be quote-unquote a budget title. But when I saw it, it was releasing for literally everything.
Yeah, and co-op, which is cool. We talked about that, but yeah. Another thing that's coming out, which Chris will be pretty happy with, as Valkyria Chronicles Remastered is actually coming west.
Woohoo!
With a limited edition first run.
Yep.
So, Chris,
I will be pre-ordering that as soon as possible. Not much to talk about, really. I mean, I haven't heard anything about Valkyria Chronicles as far as, like, if they're changing anything. You know, they're gonna dress up the graphics a little bit more, and I honestly think that, and it's a budget price, it's $30 for the game, so, you know, you can't really beat that. I actually introduced a friend of mine to it at work today, and he's like, dude, I am totally buying this as soon as it comes out. And yeah, but seriously, it's, anybody who likes strategy RPG should play this game.
Yeah, agreed.
And
I don't like strategy RPGs, and I played this game up until chapter 8, that motherfucking tank chapter. And I was
chapter
like,
7,
this.
Yeah. Chapter 7 is the tank.
Is it 7?
And, yeah. Okay. And I actually, out of curiosity, I went and looked at like a couple of videos online, and they have ways that you can beat it in like 4 turns now. Like people have like gone out of their way to figure out the easiest way to beat that particular mission. So, and that's really the only one that's like that. It's like if you can get past that mission, then the rest fine. Of the game, yeah the rest of the game, you're going to love it. So, but yeah, I really think that this is more of like, them testing the water with the engine on PS4, so that they can bring out Azure Revolution. I'm hoping that comes mm-hmm. west, because that's really, really what I want.
It's probably a test bed for that, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But $30, man,
which I don't think is
that.
Really fair, though.
I'm
because,
okay with
like,
it.
Because, like, people who love the game will obviously buy it again. People who don't know the game might not. People like me will not buy it again. So it's, I don't really think they can judge it on a remaster coming out. Hopefully it's not just a test. Hopefully it's just like a,
this I'll be honest with you. Well I think enough. That when they, I think that when they do this, I was saying that it was more of a test bed of getting the engine on PS4. It was like that, their way of doing that. When they re-release, like when they do remasters, I really don't think they expect it to sell millions in order to get people to judge whether or not to bring the other one over. So if it does like moderately well, like if it sells like maybe 500,000 copies or maybe even less than that, I think they may go ahead and bring Azure Revolution over here. And that's what I'm mm-hmm. hoping. That's what I really want. So
cool. That's,
we have one more piece of news.
Yep.
And guys, let me just,
well,
let me
I have
just
one,
take this.
I have one too. So go ahead.
Well, go ahead, Chris, cause this one hangs heavy on my heart.
Okay. Cause so, I don't know if we talked about this or not, but, everybody knows that they're remaking Odin Spear, right? So,
yes.
Odin Sphere, some other like subtitle. I don't know how to pronounce it, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. Well, one of the biggest issues with Odin Sphere was the inventory system. So it has been confirmed that the inventory system has been improved. Now, like inventory gets immediately sorted. And like when you pull up your inventory, you can scroll through, you can use the bumpers to scroll through different sets of inventory to determine what you need to use at the time. Like it'll separate potions and healing berries and things like that. So it's much easier to get to everything. They've also improved upon the battle system, the actual combat, to make it more like Muramasa, which is pretty exciting to me because Muramasa I thought was fantastic. So that's another game that I'm super looking forward to. And I think that's coming out in June. So yeah, there's 3 awesome re-releases coming out the first half of this year. And I'm usually not big on re-releases, but Gravity Rush, Valkyria Chronicles, and Odin Sphere. I mean, those are 3 fantastic games.
Odin Sphere is great. It came out at a really bad time. I bought that after I bought my PS3. So I played it for a bit, got sick of the inventory system, and then something else came out and I just got taken away of it.
And that's the story for everyone, is that the inventory system was just, it was too tedious to deal with. And it looks like they've done some improvements there. So hopefully it'll be a little bit easier to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Travis, you said you had one?
So Chris, I need you to go ahead and post and cue the sad music right now.
we'll do that in post.
I think that, a true American man should only cry in 2 instances. One, if you lose a limb.
Okay.
And 2, at the Grand Canyon.
Why?
That's pretty much it.
Why the Grand
Canyon?
But today.
Oh my God, it's a big
fucking
hole.
Beautiful.
Sorry.
But today I shed a tear, guys.
Okay.
When I read the tweets from Peter Molyneux saying that he was retiring from the games industry.
Did he actually say that?
I didn't know love until I found out he was leaving. Yeah, he said, at this time I would like to announce my retirement from the games industry. It's been a long journey for me. Overall, my time in the industry has been bittersweet. However, my biggest mistake was Fable 3.
Did he actually say that?
And it pushed
that?
Me and my teams to the limit. This came out on his official... This
he
wasn't Peter Molyneux. This was
his actual,
official
like,
page.
Fable
and then we find out that one of his friends posted on Twitter that on the phone with Peter Molyneux right now, ignore his tweets. So apparently, Peter Molyneux's official Twitter got hacked and someone just these long things on it and everything.
Gotcha.
It was a big hubbub and everything all over the internet. It was a huge deal. It's what everybody was talking about today. And then at 4, what was the time? Today at 4:21 p.m., Peter Molyneux regained control and said,
Who gives a shit?
Yeah,
does
as it, far
does
as
anybody,
I'm concerned, he was...
Does anybody really care about Peter Molyneux?
Peter, I loved you, man. I loved you.
He was great.
You were my favorite.
He made some amazing-ass games. But
I don't care about you anymore, dog.
Yeah, he's been out of the game since
like,
Fable 3.
I care.
Like 5 years
ago? But I don't care. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. Yeah.
As a human being, you're amazing. Your son's super cool. Dog, you're done.
Dog.
You're gone. Like, there's nothing... He could announce Fable 4. Like a true
matter.
Life Fable 4, and I won't care anymore. You're done, dog.
All right.
See ya.
All right.
So,
we're
posting up news up in the Interactive Distractions Facebook page, not the group. If you happen to be part of the group, please transfer over to the page. If you are in the group and you want to find the page and you don't know, you can hit up, just post in the group. We can transfer you over, no problem. We'll be posting news in there very, very often. The more light, if you like a certain news thing we put up, there's more of a chance we're actually going to talk about it on the show, because it's kind of hard to gauge who gives a shit about certain news articles that we put up there. So,
and we'll name drop the fuck out of you.
Exactly. So yeah, a lot of news comes out every week, so we kind of have to kind of pick and choose what we put in there. So if you go in there and you like certain news articles, that's pretty much going to be like, oh shit, okay, we're going to talk about this because people want to hear about that shit. So just big that up. The Facebook thing is where it's at. It's very easy. I do it at work all the time. Hopefully none of my bosses listen to this shit.
Yeah, I have, my productivity at work has definitely dropped since I'm doing the managing of the page and everything with you guys. And it's, oh yeah, it's definitely, I have to hide my computer screen a couple of times during the week.
But yeah, check it out. I don't even know how to even pimp it, actually. They just look under page. Like, I don't even know how to even search it.
Facebook.com/IndusHub.
There you go.
Indus H-U-B hub.
There you
Perfect.
Go.
All right, cool.
All right, gents, let's take a break.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about our predictions from last year, see how we did.
Yeah.
And then we'll do some Indus questions, new releases, and new questions. So stay with us,
okay.
And we'll be right back.
Which will probably be pretty predictable.
It's time to wake up.
Welcome back.
You welcome back.
Thanks, Jeff. Hey, let's talk about predictions. Should we start with
let's start with stuff first.
You want to do listeners first? All right, let's do listeners first. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I'll get my homeboy.
Hey guys, this comes from Eddie Kuzanagi. Sony
this
will
is an honorable predictions list.
So Sony, his first prediction is a Sony $50 discount on the PlayStation 4.
That happened.
Happened for the holiday, and was that a?
I think that's well.
No, it's $350 now. So yeah, it did get a price drop. So give him a point. Uncharted 4 will not be the highest selling PS4 game. I guess you're right.
I mean, that's kind of right.
That is true.
That is a true statement. That is a true statement.
PS Plus will offer more free games than games for gold.
Games with gold, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, it's true. I mean, because you got to understand that with PS Plus, you're getting Vita games, PS4, and PS3 games. So, technically, I guess by default.
Three platforms. Yeah.
Yeah. Quantum Break will have average reviews. We saw a delay. Halo 5 will be Xbox's highest selling game.
That's true.
A new Gears of War
exclusive
will be announced.
Maybe it wasn't the highest selling game, was it?
No, it was the highest exclusive. So yeah, he didn't really say it was exclusive or not.
Mm-hmm. New Gears of War will be announced at
E3. That did happen.
See, well, here's the thing though, they've been so we know what Gears is happening, but have we had a trailer? Like, have we seen
they showed
gameplay?
Yeah, we did see gameplay. They played it on stage.
I missed that then. So Tomb Raider will kick ass.
That is true. Yeah.
A new Zelda will release with a tabletless Wii U SKU.
Did not release.
Neither. A tabletless Wii U SKU or a Zelda did not release. We will get a Street Fighter 4 release date. That did happen.
Probably means 5, but yes.
Oh, 5. Yeah, Street Fighter 5 release date. Metal Gear Solid 5 will be Indus Game of the Year.
Barely missed out.
So close.
Incorrect.
Barely.
It was so number close. 2. It's runner up.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Eddie? Big B Mac, he said, Rock Band will be announced.
It was announced, and it did happen. It came out. That's right.
Uncharted push of 2016 also happened.
You are right.
No new Vita SKU announcement.
Was there one?
True.
No, I don't. There was no new SKU.
Okay.
PS4 will outsell Xbox by 10 million.
Ooh, I don't know if that's.
I don't know if it did 10 million. It outsold it, but I don't think it outsold it by 10 million.
Let me see if I can find that out. Keep going.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd find that out. Destiny expansion will review at an average of 9.0. Metacritic average 8.6. Someone want to look that up really quick?
I already looked that up.
Okay. That's
the parentheses. I looked it up so you wouldn't have to stop and
research. Oh, so you put the Metacritic average.
Yes, exactly. So he was close. He was 0.4 of a point.
Gotcha.
Just shy.
Okay, not too bad either. He was like basically, well, he's definitely 3 for 5.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the few people who actually guessed that Uncharted was actually going to be pushed.
Yeah.
Most other people just assumed it was going to come out.
It was going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Travis?
Chris, are you still researching?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go ahead and read one, though.
Okay, go ahead and do Jeff.
Jeff Wildman says PS4 bundled with The Order replaces Last of Us bundle. That did not happen. Fallout 4 announced and released in October.
True.
It came out, and it came out in November, but
it came out in November, but it did
close enough. And I believe
to be
that,
fair. Okay, let's be fair. He works at GameStop. He's a store manager, so there is a little bit of inside info there. I question his integrity on these predictions because I was in that position too, and I knew a lot of shit before.
Well, Jeff, you want to write in and say Travis is an asshole? You know where to get us.
You wouldn't be surprising any of us, though. So just you know, Batman is in this game of the year. Nope.
Not even close.
Nope. Well, I'll be honest with you, though. Did we even know Rocket League was coming at the time?
It didn't even make our top ten.
At that point, we didn't know.
X-Bone Slim with 1 terabyte SKU. There is a 1 terabyte SKU, but it's not a slim. PS4 increased to 1 terabyte in the fall. Again, there is a 1 terabyte SKU, but it's not, Battletoads released at $40 price. Battletoads was not released. Unless you count
all the Killer Replay stuff, but that's
Half-Life 3 not announced. That was true. Well, Black Ops 3 highest selling COD. It was apparently.
It was
highest selling
Call of
ever
Duty.
For Call of Duty. Yeah,
It was the highest selling Call of Duty game
in the span of a year.
Oh, sh-
not like every month. Like, or whatever. I'm sure Modern Warfare 2 over time sold more, but it's only been out way longer. So.
Oh, I see.
But
oh,
wow. For the year, it was the highest selling. Yeah.
Gotcha.
New Gears, BioShock, and Crysis collections announced. Did we get a Gears? We didn't get a Gears collection.
Gears Ultimate got announced.
Yeah, we got Gears Ultimate.
Yeah.
Nothing with BioShock. Nothing with
BioShock. Nothing with Crysis. Right.
No, I would like to see Crysis though, and BioShock.
Gets at least 5 of these predictions wrong. Oh, that was true. You got that.
So, I don't know, that good might job have been on that one. That actually, might have been the swing vote. That one, that one being correct, might have been the swing vote to actually
so put like him
this,
over.
It's this weird wrong, fucking like wrong. Paradox here.
Yeah, because technically half wrong, he was so right, three, which puts him at four, 6.
5. There are 5 predictions wrong.
And then, but his prediction of being 5, at least 5 wrong, makes him right, which puts him to 6 predictions. So therefore, that is wrong.
It's a weird fucking paradox. It's tripping me out, man.
No. He has 5 wrong. He gets 5 wrong. He has exactly 5 wrong. PS4 bundled. Oh, okay. Batman. X-Bone and PS4 are both half wrong. So that's 1. And then Battletoads, Half-Life. That was right. And then the collections.
The collection one. Okay, yeah. So
how many did he get wrong?
5, exactly.
But he said, get
4 and 2/3.
But then he says, gets at least 5 of these wrong, but he was right on that prediction.
Only got 5 wrong.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Yeah, he got at least 5 wrong. He got 5 wrong.
But then that would make his last prediction right.
Oh my God, Mike PSN08 says Sony drops the price. Sony drops the price of PlayStation TV to $50, and it actually got as low as $24.99.
Did it get that low? I thought it was $30 at the lowest, but that's
it got as low as $24.99. Kingdom Hearts 3 gets a release date for 2016. I got news for you, man. That bitch ain't coming out until like 2017, 2018. Yeah,
that might be accurate.
It's a long time. I don't even believe Final Fantasy 15 is coming out this year. I'll just be real with you.
I am with you.
We'll
talk about that more
next
week.
We'll talk about that next week. Okay. Uncharted Collection is announced.
I'm calling shenanigans on Mike because this might have been one of Mike's like thing where that was already announced.
That's right.
So
I feel like we would have called him out on the show when it happened if that was the case.
We'll see. PS4 1 TB console released.
That is true.
And then a Kingdom Hearts PS4 collection will be announced.
Did not happen.
That did not happen, sadly. Jeff.
Rob Barris. He'd probably rather have Jason read this out, but I'm sorry, Rob. I'm the next best looking guy who has to read this for you, buddy. But he says, Quantum Bake.
Oh yeah,
Quantum Bake 420. That's my new handle.
Quantum Bake 420.
Quantum Bake 420.
He said it will release and score above 85%. Did not release. Got delayed. Batman: Arkham Knight will not be in Jason's top 5 game of the year. Was it in his top 5?
It was like number 8 for him. We all 100% disagreed with him. Like, that is the most asinine comment.
We're like, he's totally going to
be in the top 5.
So he got that right.
He actually got that right.
Nice. Halo 5 will not be in Jeff's top 5 game of the year.
It certainly was.
It was. That was the first time a Halo game's been in my top 5. Nintendo announces a new handheld, and the name will be dumb. I kind of wish he was right on that one. And the X-Bone will outsell PS4 in 2015 in the U.S.
Did not happen.
New.
All right. Shall we go to ours?
Let's do the big three.
You want me to go first then?
Sure. Go ahead.
Destiny Souls expansion.
No, you're not going to read yours.
No, we're reading each other's.
Oh, that's right. I'll read Jeff's then. Since this is the next in line. Third-party exclusives come back in a big way. Didn't happen, really. No. So I think like each platform has one or two at this point, and not really that much more.
No, I thought that was going to be the big thing this year, but not so much.
Red Dead 2 will be timed exclusive for one of the big two consoles. That didn't get announced. Price drop for both consoles. You got that one right. Bayonetta 2 comes for PS4 and X-Bone. I apparently disagreed, so it's nice to know that I was right for
Didn't
a change.
Didn't happen.
God of War sequel announcement.
What the fuck, Sony? Why have you not announced the God of War game?
Mirror's Edge 2 canceled. And Joker will be in Batman Arkham Knight. Hey, you got one right.
Yeah, that was the one. That was my big, like, when everyone's like, no, there's no fucking way, man. Joker died. He's not going to be in it. I'm like, no, he's going to be in fucking Arkham Knight. Guaranteed. That's my proudest one right there.
That's funny.
I think this is my worst year ever for work. That was god awful. All right, I'm going to read Travis's out right now. So, No Man's Sky will underwhelm.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
Because he's not wrong.
For the year of 2015, you're right. No Man's Sky underwhelmed.
He didn't say it was going to come out and underwhelm.
That's true.
He didn't say it was going to review badly. He just said it was going to underwhelm. I say we give it to him. No Last Guardian anything.
Well, we did get the announcement, so.
Yeah, we got gameplay and everything. So. Yeah.
Was that last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
Oh, I guess it was, yeah. Okay, so that one's wrong. Last of Us 2 announcement.
Nope.
No. Mass Effect announcement.
Yep.
Yes. Got that one. Xbox plays, X-Bone plays catch up and matches yearly sales in 2015. No.
What is that? Matches I'm PS4 guessing, yearly sales? Is that
I'm
what,
guessing
is
that's what he meant.
Okay. They catch up overall, like in the arms race that is this console war. But
gotcha.
I wanted their systems to match up pretty close overall sales for the year.
Nope. 2015's Ass Creed sells less than Unity. So I did
the research on this. Yeah.
Yep. First month sales were down. Worst Assassin's Creed release in UK. Ubi blamed Unity for lack of sales. So I guess, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Witcher 3 is Indus Game of the Year.
Nope.
If we redid this conversation, that Game of the Year, Chris has to catch up. But
yeah, I do. I need to catch
up. It's really good, man. I actually I don't think it was in my top five, but I think now.
Yeah, you were complaining about how much work you had to do to get kills.
To what?
You were complaining about how much work you had to do to get kills.
No, not at all. I put that shit on easy a long time ago.
Yeah.
I didn't complain about the difficulty at all. I just had other stuff to do. Destiny expansion. Yeah, I think it might have been Jason. Destiny expansion will pull Jeff back into Destiny.
No. Did you even try the expansion?
No.
No, I'm not going to pay money for something that may or may not pull me back in. I thought about it many times. Like, so many times I had it there, like, just fucking download it, just download it.
It probably would have, to be honest with you, because the actual content for the expansion was really good. Still light, but, you know.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
So I was 3 out of 8.
It was very
not
close.
Very good.
Well, you know what? Considerably, that's pretty good.
I have an update here.
Okay.
What was the number? 10 million? Outsell PS4 will outsell by 10 million?
Mm-hmm.
That was not correct, but okay. it was not far off either.
Seven.
According to these numbers, and these might not be accurate.
If they're VG charts, they're probably not accurate.
Yeah, they're estimates, but this is saying 8 million.
Yeah, okay.
Close. So. All right, going on to the Birthday Boys 2015 predictions. So Destiny sells the expansion at retail for $60, standalone DLC for $30.
I got the 30 wrong. It was 40.
Yeah.
It was 40.
But there was a full expansion, including the original game, bundled together for $60.
I can't believe you actually called that, though, that they're actually going to resell it retail for $60.
Well, that was a big thing for a while. I mean, people kind of had to ask for, you know, just the standalone content. I mean, it was going to happen anyway, but people were wondering, how can I just get this content?
That's true.
And then there was a DLC issue and everything. So PS4 and X-Bone will both drop to $300.
Half point?
They did at one point. During the holidays, it was 300. They're not retail.
I'll give them the point for that.
I think X-Bone is still 300, though.
Oh, is it? Cool.
I think so. I don't think they went back up.
Okay.
Wii U will hit a $200 SKU with a smaller tablet.
That is wrong.
I don't even think it's $200 yet, which is
ridiculous. It's not. It's $250 still, I think.
Right.
Wow.
No new 3DS SKU if you want to...
I think that was true, if, right?
Well, They brought the one that was just in Japan over here.
No, we did get one in the U.S. in 2015. It was that it's that 3DS that doesn't fold. It's just flat.
The 2DS?
That was last year.
That was 2014.
Oh, that was 2014?
I think that was Hold on.
This past 2DS. Year.
I think they brought the Japanese-only 3DS, new 3DS, over here. The smaller
The 2DS was in 2013.
Oh, really? That long ago?
So let me see. When did the new 3DS come out?
Well, they did. Out here, they came out with the 3DS, the new 3DS XL, but they didn't bring out the regular size new 3DS, right. I think, until this year.
Well, if you want to split hairs, technically there were tons of other new 3DS SKUs when you count bundles.
There was nothing new announced last year.
Exactly. Nothing new. Yeah. Nothing new. Titanfall 2 announcement for both consoles with a single player campaign.
So, no.
Yeah. They said they're working on it, but they haven't made an official announcement, which is weird.
And things just go downhill from here, guys.
Oh, yeah, it gets pretty bad. Phil Harrison returns to Sony.
This was me really reaching.
The Quantum Break TV portion will be completely removed, in which I agreed that that was going to happen. Yeah. But
no, in fact, they actually went more all in on it.
It looks like they've actually gone further.
More, like they got Hollywood actors and shit in there.
Yep.
Actually, I think you might be right on the Phil Harrison thing, Chris.
What?
I think you might be right on that. I think he did go back to Sony. But he's not like in a front-facing like position.
I mean like a silent partner.
Someone look at that really quick. I honestly think he might have went back to Sony. I just don't think he went back as like a mouthpiece type person that shows up on stage.
On April 17th, 2015, it was announced that Phil Harrison has left Microsoft Game Studios.
Yeah.
Let's see. Phil Harrison has new company Alloy Platform Industries.
Oh, okay, never mind. Dude, I knew he left Microsoft. For some reason, I thought he might have went back to Sony.
Yeah, so he has his own thing now.
Alrighty.
All right, Star Wars Battlefront is announced, but Jeff and Chris both say there's no way it comes out in 2015.
Oops.
Well, you got the announce right.
Announcement, you nailed it. Yeah. Zelda releases, but it does not sell Wii U consoles.
No, Zelda didn't come out.
No,
it didn't.
Yeah, Twilight Princess remaster is this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 2016, which looks really good, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Really Twilight good. Princess. I mean, a lot of people hate it, but it was my favorite of the three Zeldas, to be honest with you.
I agree. Yeah, so I agree with
that.
That
was good.
Finally, Uncharted is the best-selling non-Call of Duty game of 2015.
Oops. Well, it didn't come out. And if it did come out, that would not have happened.
Yeah, that wouldn't have happened. So yeah, that's it. That's the predictions. We
I got see.
Man, that's funky.
1, 2
overall.
3.
We got a good 30% or something.
4.
I was 3 out of 8.
I was 4 out of 10. That's rough. We are not good at this.
Many. I only got like 1, the Joker one.
But I'm going to tell you, I feel good. Are we doing our predictions for next year? Next episode?
Yes,
next
sir.
Episode. Yeah.
I got to tell you guys, I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah, you said that last year too.
Yeah, we say that every year.
I'm so confident. I got some good ones. I got some good ones up my sleeve.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to talk about the NX at one point or another. So.
Yeah.
Indeed.
All right.
So. Cool. All right.
So we might as well assume a question. Oh, we have Indus questions.
Indus questions. Yeah, let's do it.
Drag it out a second. I have to reach to get my iPad.
Okay. Well, why don't I go ahead and do new releases first then?
All right. Go ahead.
Sounds good.
Let me get to those first. Okay. Here we go. Let's see. Next week is the 2nd, right? February 1st. So let's see. We've got... I said this last week, I think. Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth. Gravity Rush Remastered, which I talked about a little bit earlier on the show. That's coming for PS4. Nitro Plus Blasters, Heroines Infinite Duel is coming for PS4 and PS3. Mega Dimension Neptunia 7.
They're still making those
They're
Neptunia
still making
joints?
These Neptunia,
God, damn,
Neptunia
that's,
games, man.
That's so it's crazy.
Like, hey, look, let's do like, what is it? Console War Fan Service. It's basically what it
well,
is.
Well, it's one of those things where Neptunia, I think it's very niche here in the States, but that must sell really well in Japan.
I would assume so, yeah.
To keep making those.
Yeah. American Truck Simulator for PC. Fortified for Xbone. Freeze Me for Wii U. Shachimi for the Wii U. Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm 4. It's coming for Xbox One and PS4. And XCOM 2 is next week for PC.
Oh, is that shit.
Right?
For PC only, yeah.
Okay. Hey, that's cool. So that is your new release list. Pick of the week.
XCOM 2, for
fucking
sure.
Gravity Rush for me. XCOM 2 is awesome, but Gravity Rush.
Is Gravity Rush next week?
Yep.
I guess so.
Yep, February 2nd.
Sure, I'm going to go with Gravity Rush.
There you go. All right. Any questions?
We do have some. Okay. Okay, this one starts off with Brian Eakins, Macaulay 425 on the Twitters. He says, Indus.
What's up?
Sony can price PSVR with Move for $400. I think it'll sell almost gangbusters. If it's $500, it will still sell over 1 million a year.
Bundled
I don't
with a
think it's going to hit a million total.
Bundled with a controller, I think at $400, that's a decent price point because it's still cheaper than the other competition that's going to be out there that's releasing first.
Yeah, I originally said $350. That was my ballpark. If it comes with Move controllers, then I can see it being out for $400.
Here's my problem, though. My problem is Move controllers, period. Like, I'm not interested in Move controllers anymore. I don't want to play with Move controllers anymore. Move has been dead for a long time.
I will be honest
Why
with you,
bring
dude?
Them back?
I will be honest with you. They work for VR. They worked for the VR.
I can see that happening.
I would rather play with a controller.
The question is,
but
though,
that's
like,
the thing.
What,
it's like,
so, like
you will play with a controller on some experiences, but on experiences where you're actually doing VR and you're using your hands, that's where the Move controllers come in. Like when I was telling you guys about Job Simulator, I had two Move controllers, one in each hand. That's how that worked.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have its place. And if you look at the controllers that are coming out for the competition. Each one has a type of controller that's kind of motion based.
Yeah.
You know, that's just
the question is though. He's saying like if it's $500 it will still sell over 1 million a year.
If it's $500 I do not think it'll sell a million. If it's
400 even think if it's 400 million, I don't think it's going to do a million in the first year.
I think it will in the first year. Is this a prediction? Should we save this?
We should well, it's technically it will, but $400, that's more expensive than the console. That I don't think that's going to do. Well, yeah, we can revisit this definitely next week.
Yeah, we probably will.
I don't think
this,
it's
I'm
got
sure.
a chance in hell. It's selling 1 million at 400 or net, let alone 500.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the install base is there. So if the price is right, I think it can get close to that number. But
history is.
What's the install base now? It's like something 30 ridiculous.
30 something million.
30 something million, something like that, yeah.
But that's still like a lot of games have a hard time getting over 1 million. Like literally,
in VR, yeah, right.
Like
in
there's
VR's
only been
big,
like one PS4 exclusive that has gone over 2 million.
And you got to remember, VR is kind of a thing that I mean, those numbers are worldwide. So yeah. I mean, when you look at VR as a, it's still right now a niche technology. It's very Western. I don't think
Western.
Yeah, I don't think there are very many Eastern, gaming.
I think
fans
it'll be lucky.
About that.
I think it'll be lucky if any VR, including Oculus, including Vive sells over 500,000 in a year. Never mind a million.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't even think Oculus is going to have enough. Like I don't think they're going to even sell probably 250,000.
Well, Oculus is also freaking
really expensive.
Really expensive. So I could see worldwide a million if it's 400 or less. But it's going to be rough. I would not put my money on that at all.
I would put money, and I will next week. That there's no way in hell that any of these VRs, regardless of how much the Sony one is, unless the Sony one's like $100, it is not selling 100 or sorry, not selling 1 million copies in a year. Like I said, like a lot of these exclusive games don't like barely get to 2 million, and there's a 37 million install base, and that's a game that's $60.
Yeah.
So I can't see that happening, but yeah, we'll see.
Hey, look at
and
this.
We'll revisit this next week.
Titanfall 2 is scheduled to launch between April 1st and March 31st of 2017.
That's your prediction? Or are you just
no, it's like I just happened to see that on Facebook right now. Next Titanfall, looking fantastic. And it says Titanfall 2 is scheduled to launch in the next fiscal year. So.
All right, Brian Jackson. Nabashin.
What's up, man?
Says, and keep in mind he wrote this a week ago. When will be at the point where we can openly talk about Star Wars? Should we really still be talking around something that everyone has watched by now, and the only ones who haven't are more or less assholes?
If you haven't watched Star Wars yet, you're an asshole.
I'm going to call
just
it Nabashin. Because he was putting on Twitter for the longest time, he will eventually get to Star Wars when he can, he's not in a big rush to see it. I want to know if Nabashin would still feel the same way if he didn't actually go see it in the week after the movie came out.
I mean, at this point, we're just having a conversation on what's the...
it's like, what's the statute of
limitations? What's the statute of limitations on movies? And I think for movies, especially movies as big as the Star Wars franchise, I think 1 year.
For huge spoilers
100%. And everything. I think 1 year is a good length of time and everything. For video games, it's usually around...
Let it get out on Blu-ray first, and then you give it a little bit of time. And
video
then
games are usually in between 3 to 5 months, depending on the size of the game.
I was
going to
say 3 to 5 days, because people blow through that.
But I mean, what's the acceptable? What's the acceptable amount and everything? Now, if you're legitimately having a conversation with somebody who's not played that game, who wants to play that game, like for instance, Chris with the end of The Witcher, like the game's been out for quite some time, but we're not going to spoil the game because you haven't played it. But just having an open conversation on the internet, I think 3 to 5 months for video games is pretty fair, and a year for movies for sure.
Yeah, not tiptoeing around like, yes, Han Solo was in the fucking movie. C-3PO was in the fucking movie. R2-D2 was in the fucking movie. Like, that shit's fair game at this point. Because that's all over everything right now. And major plot point spoilers, I agree. I'd say about a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Major plot point spoilers. Yeah, Navishin follows up with another one. I was curious if you guys use the TV features on your Xbox Ones anymore.
Nope.
Well, you still do, Chris. I still see you watching it on there.
That's because I have no choice but to have it on.
You can just not hook it up through it.
Well, that's what I plan to do. I'm gonna actually remove my 360 and hook it up the way my 360 is hooked up. But as of right now, I still have both of them hooked up, and I'm using the pass through. So in order to watch TV, I have to have it on. I mean, I don't really have a choice, but I don't use any of the features.
I never use the features. I just use the same thing as you did. I use the pass through.
Yeah, that's all.
And then when I got a new cable box, and it's really finicky with it, so I don't even have it going through there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never used the TV features ever.
I was a fan of the NFL app actually on the Xbox One.
Yeah. I see a lot of people on that
because it was really nifty because you can just type in what teams you want to follow, like any sport, you know, any NFL team. So if I just wanted to follow Saints news, I would just type in the Saints as the only team I wanted to follow. And every time there was a news article regarding the Saints, its players, or anything regarding that franchise, it would just it would automatically go into my feed, and that's the only news I would get. So I really dug that. That was a neat little feature there. But at least on the PS4 side of things, I'm always on fucking Netflix. I'm always looking for new shows, new movies to watch and everything. So
I still use those are apps and shit though.
Yeah, I understand. But the TV features, like the Xfinity app or anything, to me that's pointless. Like I don't understand. You have a digital cable box, you have Comcast cable. There's no point when you can just swap over the input and watch it on there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't understand it.
I'm with you.
Yep. That's it. Those are all the end questions, guys.
All right, cool. Well, that's pretty much it. Shall we let's wrap it up. Next week we're doing predictions. Oh wait, no, I have an email.
I have an email.
I forgot to do this email. This is from, and this is actually a last year's predictions email from MC. Says 2015 is in the books. Sorry, MC, I completely missed it. Let's see how I did on my predictions from last year. This year's best game will be Rise of the Tomb Raider. Well, it was a critical success, and did make many game of the year lists. I'll take a point for that one. You can have a point for that one, sir. I'll give it to you.
I like how he gives himself his own points.
Metal Gear Solid 5 will be a goddamn disaster. you could say this is true, what with everything that's happening between Konami and Koji Pro, but I was thinking more in regards to the quality of the final game. This turned out to be one of my favorite games of the year, and from gameplay perspective, the best Metal Gear game ever made. Huh. I am happy to be wrong here. Satoru Iwata will still be alive at the end of the year. Fuck!
He really didn't predict that, right?
No. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, because he didn't actually write into predictions for last year.
No, he didn't.
Year,
so we're kind of taking his word for it. Yeah. But he did write in predictions for this year, which we'll save until next week.
Next year.
Until Dawn will be a massive success and spawn a new wave of AAA games designed to be played with, played over Twitch. Well, Until Dawn was a success, though I don't know about calling it a massive success. But Twitch gaming didn't need any help. People continue to watch folks play games over Twitch for reasons that often have nothing to do with the game itself.
That's very true.
That is very true.
That's extremely true.
A lot of, I mean, that's the thing. It's like most people are just watching for those personalities, man. PewDiePie is a perfect example. Let's see. This will finally be the year I make it to Evo. God damn it. You bastards need to get your asses out here. I'm not going to Evo by myself. Fortunately, I did make it to Capcom Cup. It's no Evo, but it was still a lot of fun. So that was the predictions that he gave us from last year. So thank you, MC. All right, thanks, MC. He did send some 2016 predictions. We will save cool. those till next week. He also said, I've only got two since I've got to run to work. He sent us three. So, but yeah, MC, feel free to send some more and we'll do them next week. All right. So, as we said, next week is predictions. If you would like to send your predictions to us for 2016, try and keep it less than, preferably around five. Less than 10. If you send us 10,
do
more
not
than 10,
do 10, do 5. Yeah, if just you put more than 5, we're only reading your top 5.
There you to send that in, it's an email at interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337. Check us out on Twitter. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff. We also have Indus Podcast and Indus Questions. Check us out on Facebook, Google Plus, Steam, Stitcher, and Twitch. Just look for Interactive Distractions and you'll find us. Or on Facebook, it's Indus Hub. That is our new
page.
That's
the one you want to hit up.
Yeah, so if you're in our Facebook group, please transfer over to our Facebook page. We will be removing the group at one point or another. And that's housekeeping. So you guys have anything else before we get out of here?
No, I really got to pee.
All right. Jeff's got to pee, so let's get out of here. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, please leave us a review. We would appreciate that. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Later.